Open your Bibles, if you would, and follow along with us, with me. And this evening I want to talk to you about seeking the old paths. Seeking the old paths. I wish you'd turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. Now, Jeremiah, the great weeping prophet of Israel, looked at the sad condition of the southern kingdom, Judah and Benjamin, around 626 B.C. He noted the depravity and the degradation that characterized the people, and he cried out in the following way in Jeremiah 6, verses 13 through 16. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, where there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways, and seek, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. Israel's adamant and stubborn refusal to turn again to God after having turned to idolatry and spiritual adultery was leading them down the paths of captivity and bondage. Time and time again, the Lord warned of them what was going to happen, and time again, the warnings were spurned by rebellious people who persisted in flaunting the divine love and mercy. Israel turned from the old paths and found acceptance and favor in the world by conforming to the nations around her. They wanted to be like everybody else, and they were. There was a time when they had demanded a king to judge them, so that they would be like all the other nations. Turn to 1 Samuel, if you would, verses chapter 8 and verse 7. Now there were, like I said, there was a time when they had demanded a king to judge them so that they'd be like all the other nations. So God granted their request, but he said in 1 Samuel 8 and verse 7, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me that I should not reign over them. They went their own way, refusing God's will and following their own desires, and learned that when you do that, there's a terrible price to pay. I think of the words in Psalms 106, which is a whole psalm devoted to the story of Israel's repeated rebellions and God's repeated mercies. Come with me to Psalms 106, and let's read verses 13 through 15, if you would, please. Verse 13, They soon forget His works. They waited not for His counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert. And He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. So over and over and over, God invited His people to return to Him in obedience and love for the blessings and the promises. But they were constantly enamored by the new paths, the worldly and worldly acceptance, and they found freedom to do as they pleased. Israel refused to walk in the old paths. Now turn to Jeremiah, back to Jeremiah, if you would, chapter 5. Now God sent spokesmen, He sent prophets to the people to stem the tide of rebellion and to turn them back to the old paths, but to no avail. Look at Jeremiah 5, verses 30 and 31. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. Listen now. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? They were lulled to sleep by soft words and vain promises, by people who told them that going their own way was okay, that walking in the new paths of their own choosing was fine, and that they closed their ears to the spokesman of God who brought His divine blessings. Now if you would turn your Bibles to Isaiah the 30th chapter, a familiar passage to all Bible students, Isaiah chapter 30. And we'll read verses 8 through 11. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 8 says, "Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things." Listen now. "Speak unto us smooth things," he says. "Prophecy deceits. Get ye out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before you." What had happened here was that the religious leaders of the people were marching to a tune that was piped by the people rather than by God. They were saying what the people wanted to hear, not what God was saying. And of course, the people were loving every minute of it. So what could be done? What could be done? Well, even during all that time when Israel was refusing to walk in the old path that God had ordained, He promised them a new and a better way was coming. Just come over, if you would. Please come over a few chapters to Isaiah chapter 35, if you would. Isaiah 35, this new way, he says, verse 8, "And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein." Brethren and friends, God said a new way was coming. It was to be a way of holiness, not touched by those who were unclean, but trod upon only by the redeemed. The fools and the wayfaring men would crowd the highway of life, but only the saved will walk in the way of holiness. Speaking of that very same way, you remember what the Lord said in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14? He says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few be that find it." Even though the way of holiness, the way that leadeth unto life, is narrow and confined, but there will always be ample room for the redeemed, because even today the multitudes were chanting, "We will not walk therein." The old paths are still not popular with a lost and dying world. Jesus declared in John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me." This way, the way of the Lord, is offered to all those who are lost in sin, and by it salvation is obtained. Look at Hebrews, the 10th chapter, if you would, please. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. The Hebrew writer wrote in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. He wrote, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, this to say, His flesh." Brethren, this is the way that was promised in prophecy. This is the way that was promised in prophecy, that Jesus Christ in salvation through His gospel, that's the only way, through Jesus Christ and salvation through His gospel. Now, when it was announced, multitude followed it and were led in the way of holiness. In the early days, there was harmony among the people of God, and the church grew rapidly. But you know what happened? Before too long, the old path started to be rejected again. Even during the days of the first century, even during the days of inspired men, the signs of departure from God's ways were becoming evident. The apostle warned the Ephesian elders with these words in Acts 20, verses 29 through 31, and I think it'd do us good to read that. Acts 20, verses 29 through 31. Most of us know this. Acts 20, verse 29 through 31. The apostle said, "For I know this." He's talking to the Ephesian elders. He said, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men rise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Brethren, I'm going to take just a moment here. I'm going to just make a personal note here. I personally cease not to warn you every Sunday that you should never take man's word concerning your salvation. I ask you to only take the word of God every Sunday that I remember to do that, and that's most every Sunday. And brethren, always make the one standing before you give you book, chapter, and verse, whether it's me or regardless who it is. And I used to always say on the daily radio show at the beginning, if we can't give you book, chapter, and verse, then don't listen to us. To the young evangelist, Timothy, Paul issued this clear and explicit warning in 1 Timothy 4. Look with me. 1 Timothy 4. Verses 1 through 3. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." Now if you would just turn over to the 2 Timothy, letter to 2 Timothy in chapter 4. Paul said in chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, he said, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." The Holy Spirit gave ample warning that men would once again forsake the old paths. And they did. Less than 3 short centuries had gone by before most had forsaken the way of holiness. Some scholars point to the Council of the Bishops at Constantinople in 383 A.D., when the Nicene Creed was originated, as the time of the departure from God. Some say that, but that's not so. There could never have been a Nicene Creed if there had not already been a departure from the old past. That merely gave formal expression to the degeneracy already at work among those who had once walked in the way. More and more areas of apostasy were soon to be found among those claiming to follow Jesus, but actually they were following men. They spurned the pleas of God's spokesman to ask for the old past, were in the good way, and walk therein. They heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears, and stubbornly said, "We will not walk therein." They said, "Give us more and more that we might be like all the nations around us." And so were brought forth more and more creeds and manuals and articles of faith. And all the while, more and more religious factions were spawned, and wider chasms were formed, separating those who claimed to worship Christ as most moved farther and farther away from the old paths. Jesus prayed fervently against any division that His church, His spiritual body purchased with His blood, would not be torn with division. He prayed for that. Remember His words in John the 17th chapter? Let's read that. Let's read that beautiful passage. John chapter 17. in verse 20 and 21. Jesus said, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." Doesn't this completely defeat the false theory that we see today of unity and diversity? Absolutely. Yet despite this prayer by our Lord, there are over 33,000 different and differing denominations and religious parties in the world today. And there are over 2,000 and some say as many as 20,000 denominations registered in the United States alone. The prayer of our Lord is defeated. The plea for unity in the old past is scorned. The souls of lost men and women are damned. And the devil must be enjoying a diabolical laugh. Why? Because men have refused the old path of the Lord and adamantly state, "We will not walk therein." Listen to me now, if you would. Listen to me. Every denomination, every sectarian name, every church creed, every council, every synod, every diocese, conference and dogma of man openly declares opposition to the way of holiness and a refusal to return to the old paths of God. Every one of them. We're still pleading for a return to the old paths. We may be called legalists because we are asking for a "thus saith the Lord." Call us legalists if you want to, so be it. Folks are being lulled to sleep by soft words and social events and recreational facilities that pass for religion and have nothing whatsoever to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. No attention is being paid to the warnings of God not to add to or take away from His Word. Departures from the old path stem from one primary cause. Men were not and are not willing to abide in the Word of God. When a person scorns the prayer of Jesus for unity by thanking God for all the churches and saying that a person should join the church of their choice, there's a passage from Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20 that comes to my mind. And come with me if you would. Isaiah 8 and verse 20. And it says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." Now, just suppose that today every book that has been written on religion except the Bible should be destroyed. And that every line on religion written or printed anywhere which was not plainly recorded in the Bible should be erased and destroyed. Let's just suppose that. Let's suppose a little further. Let's suppose that every doctrine, every practice, and every name not recorded in the Bible should be utterly forgotten today so that they could never be remembered again. Now let's suppose again. Let's suppose that all this should happen today. What would be the religious condition tomorrow? There would be millions upon millions upon millions of believers in Christ who would not so much as know the religious name of which they had been called, which they had called themselves. They're not written in the Bible and would have been destroyed and been forgotten. Not a single denomination from the Catholics down could carry on its religious work in government. They would be in the utmost confusion. Their creeds by which they direct their work and worship and govern themselves would have been destroyed and forgotten. Much of their worship is not recorded in the Bible, and it would be forgotten. Their creeds would be no more than blank pages except for a few disjointed, misapplied applications from the Bible remaining. Every sentence not recorded in the Bible would have faded and left blank pages. Now, brethren, as astounding as it may seem, not a single denomination could establish a legal title to a single foot of land. Not a single denomination could establish legal title to a foot of land. Their lines, the lines in their deeds where their religious names had been, and in which names they had formerly held their title, would be blank, and the religious names would have been forgotten. Yes, the lines were their religious names, the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, the Presbyterian Church, and all others not recorded in the Bible had been recorded, would be blank, and no legal title could be established. Now listen carefully. Listen carefully to me. Destroy every book written on religion except the Bible. Erase every sentence wherever found, printed, or written on religion that cannot be read in the Bible. Forget every item of teaching and practice not clearly recorded in the Bible at one time. And you know what? It would not disturb the churches of Christ in the least measure. Every item that is taught and practiced by churches of Christ, whether it be how to become a Christian, the kind of church government, the officers and their duties, or how to worship, can be read plainly from the Bible. Their legal title to land would be secure. Did you know that no denomination will endorse the creed or the form of church government, the terms of mission into the church, or the name of any other denomination? They will not endorse any other denomination. No two denominations agree on the things that we just mentioned. Each denomination accepts its own creeds, its own laws, its own worship, its own government, and its own name, and it rejects all others. Each denomination does. No two denominations endorse each other. Now listen closely. But none of the denominations, not one of them, will say that any item taught and practiced by the churches of Christ is wrong. Think about that. They cannot say that anything we practice or teach is wrong. So, my dear brethren and friends, just how serious is it to depart from the old paths? Let's close by reading 2 John 9 through 11. 2 John 9 through 11. The Bible says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." If there's anyone here, and I don't think there is, that's not a Christian, I would ask you, are you willing to obey Jesus this evening? You do that by repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. If there's anyone here who needs the prayers of the church, maybe you've left the Lord and you need to want to come back. Maybe you've got some sins that you wanted want us to pray for you. We beg you to come forward too. Think about this. Life is too short. Death is too sure. Judgment is too certain. Hell is too hot. And heaven is too wonderful. And eternity is too long. If we can help anyone in this audience this evening to help make your life right with God, please come now as we stand and as we sing.